It's the Shooting USA podcast from the 2016 SHOT Show, the Sands Convention Center. I'm at the Smith & Wesson booth this morning, and I am honored to have my first guest of the event. It's Jerry Michalik, Shooting Sports Royalty. Jerry, welcome. Did I hit the last name right? Help us with that, because it's an ongoing debate.
Michalak.
There we go. Michalak. So I got to hit that.
How are you today, John?
I'm very well. As you can see, I've had plenty of coffee this morning. I'm up. I'm ready. I'm going.
And your feet feel good.
Well, they do right now.
Right.
Because
now
we're early into this thing. It's a mass exodus, but tons of new product to see. We really haven't seen a lot of anything yet. There was a little bit at Range Day yesterday.
Yep.
We're just here on the show floor. But so far, what have you seen that's sticking out, if anything?
I saw some new product from Thompson Center on the way in. They got a new exciting rifle they just coming out with. Everywhere I turn, there's something new, so I'm overwhelmed. I was just telling a gentleman here, I'm like a goose. I land in a different spot every morning, open my eyes, and something
right,
new.
And then there's something new
so
right there.
It's to me, it's staggering the variety of what's here at SHOT Show. I come here with just a little bit of knowledge, and I leave just rattled.
Yeah.
Just fun seeing it all.
It makes it fun, doesn't it?
It does.
The Smith & Wesson Big Blue's got a number of different things that they're showing. The 22 Victory,
yep,
the new pistol. Had any time with that?
I've just a little bit of range time with it. They've got a new Performance Center M&P 1522 with a new handguard.
Yeah.
So it's a bunch of stuff. I gotta see it all.
Yeah, right. I mean, I know we're early in the thing, and I'm like, hey, what have you seen? And,
well, I just stepped in the booth. It's like, they should be sending me this stuff. I need playtime.
Well, I know how busy you get, and that's why I wanted to take advantage of a little bit of your time this morning. The 22 from the Performance Center, that M&P 1522.
Right. Yeah.
That's going to be a fun rifle. That's something that you've done some shooting with, not necessarily in that configuration, but
right,
you've been hot rodding a M&P 1522 for a couple of years now.
Back when you could get ammo,
right?
I used to shoot them pretty often. I still do. It's one of my go-to guns to train with. It teaches you a lot about discipline. You can actually see some of your problems because of the light recoil.
Yeah.
But it has the handling characteristic of a full-size platform, so it's just like a double win.
Yeah.
Double win.
That's neat. Now, where were we together last? I think it was 4 Benning 3 Gun.
Yep.
We had you out there. You're shooting the open division. I've been working with some of the footage there.
Ooh, yeah.
That was a good time, right?
That made me appreciate just how old I was. I just don't quite jump as high and crawl on the ground like I did when I was 7 years old. I don't know why.
Well, you know, they put some physicality into that match. Some Army boys, man, they make you work a little bit.
That's a fun match. That's what's good about 3 Gun. You show up and you have to execute on command. All the different scenarios, and try to stay honest and have a good performance. And above all, your equipment has to work.
Well, and that's a key thing because it's multiplied by 3. There are 3 guns involved. Obviously, it's 3 guns. You know, the opportunity for disaster when it comes to equipment is multiplied by 3.
You have like a pilot has a checklist.
Right.
I have an equipment checklist before I leave. I have to have my physically touch everything I need for a match and sign off on it before I put it in a bag.
Right. Well, to that question, are you chamber checking all your ammo, all your competition ammo? Does that get chamber checked? How does that work for you?
I do a physical check on it. I do a visual. I know where it comes from, and I have to put a plug in for Hornady. They actually do a visual check on every round that goes in the box.
You're not hurting my feelings plugging Big H.
You know, so that's, to me, when I went through the factory and I saw that, I was amazed that there are people physically looking at every round.
Yeah.
So then I look at every round.
Yeah. So it's doubly.
I do a double check.
That's excellent.
You know, that's what you have to do. I tell people, you know, you buy a great carry gun and you stick ammo in it and you never look at it. I mean, this is the business end of that whole platform is
right.
A round of ammo. So
that's a key and critical element.
It's key. So
yeah, at Benning you were running the M&P core, pistol.
Yeah.
So competitive in open division, good for multi-gun.
Yeah, I've shot it.
Reliable.
Shot it for years and years.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I tell people. I'll sacrifice accuracy for 100% reliability.
Right.
You can have a firearm that shoots in the same hole at 1,000 yards, but if it's not
right.
reliable.
But if it won't feed.
It's not worth anything. And that's one thing I do have to say while I'm sitting here at Smith & Wesson. If I wasn't here, that M&P platform, the magazine is the heart and soul of that gun.
No doubt.
And I have never had a stoppage associated with anything to do with a magazine. And I've shot these same magazines and springs for about 5 years.
Wow.
And haven't changed a thing.
So they've got serious mileage on them.
Right. Haven't changed a spring. You know, you've got guys that got custom race guns.
Right.
And they're constantly changing springs and followers. Every now and then, I throw my magazine into a sonic cleaner
right.
to say I did something with it.
Right.
Just because I feel guilty, I should be
just
doing.
Just to feel like something was done.
I need to do something.
Yeah.
Okay, throw it in the sonic cleaner for 20 minutes. Okay, I feel better. Go to the match.
Yeah.
Never had a problem. So.
Outstanding stuff.
So.
The rifle, how's your rifle configured these days? Because it's constantly racing. It's a race car.
It's evolving. Got a different handguard I want to put on it.
There's plenty to look at here. I saw some this morning that looked almost like spider web. They were so thin. There's just really nothing to them.
Yeah.
I don't know how much that's going to hold up, especially in a competition arena where you're dumping the thing in the barrel all the time.
My M&P 15 is probably a little heavier than most in three gun.
Yeah.
But I can rely on it to cold bore.
Yeah.
And that's where that accuracy comes in.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
I want to be able to step out of the range and hit an 8-inch target easily at 400 meters.
Excellent.
Cold bore.
And it'll do it, right?
And it has to do it. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm kind of old in the aspect I want performance.
Yeah. Now, you're still sticking with that tube-fed shotgun.
Yeah.
You were running that guy at Benning again as well. And I've got this fantastic POV. We're radio, so I can't show the people what I have in my mind's eye vision. But it was a quick two-sticks load as you came down the line. So there was 8 rounds went in the gun, and then it was 10 quick shots from a standing position. It was just whap, 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 and the thing was just running like a top. And it's interesting to me because a lot of guys have turned to the magazine-fed shotgun for open division, and you're staying with the stick.
The gun's reliable.
Yeah, again, back to reliability.
Gun's reliable. So I know if I put my ammo in it and I treat it the way I do, it's gonna be there when I need to pull the trigger.
Right.
I've seen a lot of box-fed guns. And there's a lot of fault of that as guys.
Yeah.
You know, you give them something, they want to take it apart, they want to make it better.
Right.
You know, hey, I'm going to make it better, famous last words.
Right.
So they actually trick themselves out of the match.
Right.
They try to get so tricked that the whatever they're shooting is not working. I'm kind of the old-fashioned guy that this thing has to work 110% at practice, so it'll work 100% when I need it.
Yeah.
So if I have a failure on anything, it's not acceptable. I got to find out why, because that failure is going to find you when you need it the most.
Yeah.
At a match, and then you're looking at it, and you got to clear a jam or something, so it's not acceptable.
Yeah,
so.
And that's time, and time is everything.
It's just old reliable, you know?
Yeah, it's great.
Pick it up and run. Might not be the prettiest or the most unique, but it has to be.
But it works.
Has to function.
It works.
Has to function, yep.
Well, there's another key aspect to your game, and that's your physicality. And, you know, as a guy who's classified a senior, you're still rocking and rolling with the guys half your age and younger in some cases. So, I mean, what's the key to success there? Is it good genes? Is it a good diet? Is it a combination of all of it? How do you do it?
I'm the kind of guy that always stays busy.
Yeah.
You ask me what my physical regimen is really never sit down.
Okay.
You know, I'd rather go rake leaves or something than watch TV.
Right.
So,
that makes sense.
So if you're a couch potato and they say jump this fence, you're going to jump it like a couch potato, you know?
Right.
So I'm basically a cheap guy, so I do most of my own auto maintenance and yard maintenance, and we got 150 acres I take care of. So I think I counted I have 18 gasoline engines that I take care of on the property.
Including that old Toyota.
Yeah, so
which I got
a bunch of old equipment that I constantly play with. So if I get bored, I just go out and work on something.
There's always something to tinker on.
Always something to play with, like it or not. So just staying active and watching the other guy, watching the other competitors. I just had an interesting experience. Hunter Kale.
Yeah, I was going to bring Hunter up because he's a friend of mine. He lives near us in Tennessee.
He's talking multi-gun, you know, talking about keeping up with the young guys. This guy shows up. Hunter, he's got no hands.
20 years old, no hands.
He's got a toe, I think, on his left
He does,
hand,
yeah. They did a surgery when one of his many surgeries along the way. They took a toe off of one of his feet and tried to attach it as an appendage.
Yeah.
Partially worked. Super, super great guy, and he shoots multi-gun on a competitive level.
Right.
Highly competitive.
Right.
With no hands.
Right. So if people say, how old are you? I said, that's not really how old you are. It's how much fight you got in you.
Right.
When I look at Hunter and I look at what he's working with.
Right.
You know, they were saying about the dog in the fight. Is the fight in the dog?
No doubt.
He's got a lot of fight in him. So
I
respect him. He came to the house. We spent a week here a month or so ago. We shot so much ammo.
That's great.
I tell you what, his nubs swole up.
Well, I mean,
he couldn't shoot anymore. My hands, I was in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, we're shooting like 800, 900 rounds of pistol a day.
Goodness.
In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, no, he's going to have to crack here in a bit.
Right.
But he was all smiles and go. And that, when you work with people like that, you get excited about the sport again and you want to go out and play. And that's what's fun about being around people like that. He's not disabled at all. Matter of fact, if you give him an inch, he's going to kick your teeth out.
Right.
He's going to step on you in competition, and I'll have to shake his hand.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he's all about, is competition, having a good time. So when I meet people like that, I feed off of it, and it makes me feel like I'm 20 years old again.
It's quality energy, man. That's good stuff.
It was good. It was actually good.
It's one of those things. I've known him. We've interviewed. We've had lunch because, like I said, he lives near us in Tennessee. And I've often asked him, is there anything you can't do, man? Is there anything you can't do? And he said, I haven't found anything yet. So that's something impressive.
And what I like about him, he doesn't ask for a favor.
Right. He just does it.
He does it.
Yeah.
So when people ask me, I go, I got a lot to learn. This guy doesn't even have a trigger finger.
Yeah.
He's got
a trigger toe and a nub, which is another interesting aspect.
I have trouble about trigger finger placement. This guy doesn't even have a trigger finger.
Well, depending on which gun he's shooting, he actuates the trigger opposite hand. So when he's shooting his pistol, he's actuating the trigger with his right nub,
right.
And rifle and shotgun, it's with the left nub. It's an interesting thing. I mean, I've done it a number of times on the show. The audience has seen him before. He's a great guy. Really, really fun stuff. Well, here we are, day one. We're not getting much accomplished other than me and you wasting oxygen at this point. So,
fun of it.
But I knew if I was given the opportunity to have somebody as busy as Jerry Michalak on the podcast, I better take it. And so there we go. Thank you for sitting down with me.
Oh, my pleasure, John. Good to be with you once again.
We're off and running.
Thank you very much.
All right. More from the Shooting USA podcast as the SHOT Show 2016 continues.